Chapter 63. Everyone agreed, so LP left the air-gapped room and proceeded to call the number that Sylvie had originally used to connect with him. He wasn't optimistic about getting her, but to his surprise, she responded. "Where do you want to meet?" she asked calmly. "You've seen where I live. How about you show me your place?" he suggested. "Sure. I know you're in Toronto, so I'll have a car come pick you up," she offered. "I'll text you the car make and model with the license plate so you know it's for you." Within about 10 minutes, a Mercedes drove up, decked out in the most stunning two-tone pearlescent purple and green metallic paint. Despite feeling anxious about the current situation, this was a car that LP would love to own. As the car pulled up, the door swung up and open like a wing. The interior was a deep black faux leather with chrome styling. To LP, this seemed typical for a car of this quality. What struck him immediately was that there was no driver. This was an autonomous car that was programmed to follow the route that had been charted out. "All righty then," LP said to himself as he climbed into the rear passenger seat, being careful not to grab at anything, lest he mar the shiny exterior. It was a short drive by Toronto standards. The city had become notorious on a global scale for brutal traffic jams, aggressive drivers, and a growing number of road rage incidents. The destination was what seemed like an abandoned building near the Cherry Street Warehouse District. This part of town had been scheduled years ago for a massive development with Google called Sidewalk Labs, but the project had been abandoned, leaving many land speculators in the lurch. Sylvie had scooped up several properties using a numbered company and developed a headquarters of sorts for when she was in Toronto. The exterior of the building that came into view bore no resemblance to the interior. From the outside, it looked like any other abandoned building, and as LP walked into the first floor lobby, he noted that it continued that theme. However, as he ascended to the third floor, he felt like he had walked onto a Kubrick film set that had barfed up an Apple store. Everything was white and polished chrome with shaded windows that were intentionally painted to look different on the exterior. There were several ultramodern consoles, making it look like the space was doubling as a J.J. Abrams take on the Star Trek bridge. Sylvie met him there. "LP, I have some explaining to do," she said as she walked closer, sensing the apprehension in his body language. "You're damn right you do," he said abruptly and more aggressively than he would have liked. His emotions were raw. He did not like the feeling of being manipulated and controlled, or having his data wiped accidentally from his private property. "Let's go upstairs," she said, motioning to him and walking towards an updated version of circular stairs. "This is really just a display area. Most of it's fake. It's where I pitch all the jocks and big shooter types, especially those in the venture capital business. They all seem to have a harden for sci-fi looks when pouring money into tech businesses, and they never fail to have expectations that the offices of any person in my industry should mimic the part." As they reached the top of the stairs, LP saw a small landing with a door and a couple of screens. Sylvie did a bioscan of her eye and hand on one of the screens, tapped a few numbers onto a keypad, and the door slid open. When he stepped inside, LP couldn't help but laugh out loud. He felt like he was in a time warp. The open space was almost identical to the apartment that Sylvie, as Artius, had had more than 20 years ago. The posters were the same, the furniture was similar, and even the bed that LP remembered fondly looked identical. "What the what?" he blurted out, clearly much calmer than he was just a few minutes ago, but not realizing that his surprise might seem like an insult to Sylvie. "I know, right?" she responded, half giggling. "I've always been a pig, and I love living in my chicken coop style. I had a lot of this stuff duplicated so that I could feel at home wherever I happened to be for longer than a few weeks. I hate hotels, and this is pretty much the way I like my stuff." "Of course," she went on. "I've updated a lot of the stuff so that it's massively more comfortable and clean. Christ, you open the windows in London and everything gets covered with the dander of about 8 billion people. I mean million. So many of the shitty chairs and stuff that I accumulated in England just had to go." She paused and followed LP's eyes. "I see you're looking at the bed," It's no longer that straw-filled futon that I once had. Some of the updates in here make me very happy to be a single woman, she joked, and winked at him, trying to bring more levity to the situation because she knew what was next. His anger returned in a flash. You destroyed my content, LP yelled, interrupting Sylvie's attempts to lighten the mood. He would have preferred to be calm, but that train had left the station days ago when his data had been destroyed. You burned my friends' phones. You ruined a lot of my music archives. You're fucking crazy, and I don't understand why you brought me here. I wanted to apologize, she said matter-of-factly, her emotion changing in a heartbeat. Her body language now projected that she was trying to appear vulnerable and calm. Seriously, I'm so incredibly sorry about what happened, and I'm really hoping that we might be able to make up for it. She continued, the ESB is relatively new technology, and it obviously hadn't been tested as much as it should have been. It wasn't meant to destroy all your files or roast your phones. I'm truly sorry. Fine, LP said, still clearly frustrated. Is there some way to get this information back? He asked, trusting his instincts that it would be a mistake to disclose that Atman was still sitting on a copy of what they were working on. There might be, she said. We could connect your old hardware to Gaia and see what can be retrieved, or I could personally do a diagnostic on the devices and try to recover some of the information. Sure, he said anxiously, but that still doesn't explain what happened to some other people I know who also lost some of their information. He wrestled with the idea of disclosing the next bit, but decided he needed to take a chance. Like Dion, Faith, and Eugene Case. Some of his work got vaporized. I don't know what you're talking about, she responded calmly. You know exactly what I'm talking about, LP answered. Honestly, I don't. LP didn't really know her well, but there was something about her behavior and the change in her tone that made him believe she was lying. He realized he had made a mistake by bringing up Case's name. Don't worry about it. Let's talk about how we can recover my phone and laptop information. She could sense his hesitation. LP, I'm one of the good people in all of this. Please believe me. She took a slow, cautious step towards him. LP took a step back away, trying not to think about the steamy moments they'd shared in the past. I wish I could, he said with little hesitation. I have to go. It was his turn to lie. Please don't, she begged. I want you to stay for a while. Let's talk all of this through. She continued to approach him, arms outstretched. Let's relive some memories. LP's anger quickly shifted from apprehension to acute anxiety. It had been a long time since he'd been with a woman, and he was still very upset with Sylvie. She could see that LP's resolve was weakening and continued to press her advantage. She slowly reached out and grabbed LP's hands in her own and led him to her bed. His body was completely in control now. His frustration, anger, and raw emotion all vaporized into a mist of adoration. He ran his fingers through her hair, marveling at its softness and the way it cascaded over her smooth skin like a waterfall of spider hair. A wave of pleasure washed over him as he touched her, sending tingles up and down his spine. He looked away, a smile on his lips. They spent a couple of hours making love, with the moonlight shining through the window, illuminating the room and casting a warm, comforting glow over the two of them. There was no one to hear their climaxes but each other. Afterwards, the two lay in bed, staring up at the moon, saying nothing. It wasn't long before Sylvie was asleep, and LP's racing heart finally slowed to a calmer pace. He watched her peaceful state, her chest rising and falling with each breath. His afterglow would have lit a dark stadium. For the first time in what felt like years, he felt truly content and happy. He carefully wrapped his arm around her waist and pulled her closer, nuzzling his face into her neck. She stirred in her sleep and let out a soft sigh, snuggling closer to him. LP closed his eyes and let the warmth of her body envelop him completely, a feeling of contentment washing over him. He couldn't help but think of how perfect they were together and how he never wanted to let go. They stayed like that for a while, their bodies intertwined in the sheets. LP opened his eyes again and looked out the window, marveling at the stars in the night sky. He let out a contented sigh and smiled, knowing that no matter what happened in life, he was safe and secure with Sylvie in his arms. Soon, his eyes began to droop, and his breathing grew heavy as he drifted off to sleep. Hours later, fingers of morning light streamed into the warehouse apartment, leaving a residue of humidity and warmth that dragged him out of a peaceful sleep. His mouth was dry and cottony. Sylvie was nowhere to be found, so LP climbed out of bed and took a few moments to look around the apartment. There was a single bookshelf loaded with books about programming, mythology, the environmental movement, and much more that he hadn't seen before. There were collections of albums and CDs, most of which he did recognize, but he was most curious about a small collection of albums, including one by a biologist named Roger Payne, called Songs of the Humpback Whale, one called Whale Music by the Rheostatics, and the Whale Rider soundtrack. The coincidence seemed very odd, and he was reminded of Eugene's story about the whales singing to him. He wandered to the kitchen and found a note. LP, sorry, last night was wonderful. I hope we can be friends. Sylvie. P.S. When you leave, the door will self-lock and the car will take you where you ask. All righty then, LP chuckled to himself. It looks like I'm on my own again. As he slipped out the door and down the stairs, he heard a click behind him as the apartment's lock reset itself. As she'd said, the Mercedes was waiting for him, and its door opened automatically. He slid into the seat and blurted out his address. Despite having enjoyed an amazing evening reconnecting with the woman he admired so much, he felt emptier than the depths of a black hole.